almost live from one of the most diverse cities in America, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Ted Sampson and Christiana D.
And Becca.
And now, with one coffee table and three microphones, here's Nate.
Four microphones.
Still one coffee table, though.
All right.
We're keeping the coffee table count down. Because, you know, that's really why the terrorists hated us, is the multiple coffee tables. Especially the glass top ones, like Danny Thomas used to use with hookers.
Oh.
I don't think that's true or fair or anything, but
do you ever notice in movies, if there's a glass coffee table, somebody's going to fall through it?
Or get trapped underneath it, like in 16 Candles? Yeah.
Guess who was born around the same time.
Oh, man. Today I was at my volunteer job, and my younger coworker was like, I like 90s music. Let's listen to some 90s music today. And he's like, put on like the retro 90s music station. And all that music was like made when I was an adult already.
That's the best station, though, because of that. I love that station, no?
Okay. There you go with that. Coming up on the show today.
Sorry, Nate.
I'm just going to power right through. We've got some penis art news. I know that's crazy.
Hooray.
We'll take a visit to Florida Corner.
Boo.
An article that made me say, oh, Georgia. And some birthday boobs.
Woo!
Yeah, from a Pawn Star. Those are all coming up later on in the show. Before we get going on the show, I want to mention our friend Brian over at Kimone Sushi, because I've been chatting with him, and I said I would mention it, because I'm not really a sushi guy, but I know the sushi over at Kimone is very good, so I want to encourage everybody to head out. And if you haven't been to Kimone Sushi, it's on 16th Street, 16th and V, I think. It's right next to the Pizza Hut.
16th and V.
Yeah, somewhere in that general vicinity. Kamon Sushi.
Easy freeway access.
Yeah, right off the Business 80 down there. So
it's delicious.
Or the
and
50.
Brian's a nice guy. It's nice to support nice businesses run by nice people that have tasty food.
Yeah, if you like sushi and you're in Sacramento, go ahead and check out Kamon Sushi and tell Brian that we sent you over there. As for Brian, he's the Asian guy.
Yeah.
Well, he is.
I know.
One of many. No, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't eat sushi. There could be a bunch of white people in there.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're right.
I could be. I don't know.
No, I meant Christiana was right, not you.
Yeah, you'll have to.
Sorry.
What's happening?
No.
I don't know what's going on. I try and be nice, and this is what happens.
Oh.
I'm just saying, if you really want to see what's going on over at Kimone Sushi, if you're really curious how right I am, just go check them out. So.
What else? Since it's Friday, like, what else is going on that we should... Milky Way Comedy Festival
that's
starts tonight.
Yeah, that's all this weekend in Roseville. So check that out, Milky Way Comedy Festival. Link is on the show's Facebook page. So check that out, like the Nate Darling Show on Facebook, and then you'll find out all sorts of stuff. I try and post little extra things that we don't get to talk about on the show for a variety of reasons. Throw them on there every now and then to just sort of spark debate and like, wow, that's really messed up sort of stuff. Speaking of messed up, Justin Bieber.
Whew. Oh, no.
That poor boy. He's in so much stuff going on. Got accused of assaulting his neighbor. He had a row with a pap in London.
With a what?
A pap.
Pap smear, rogue pap smear.
Oh, those are the worst.
Now this. Justin Bieber's pet monkey detained in Germany.
That's horrible.
It is.
Way to go, Germany.
That's not a Jewish monkey.
Is it in a box?
Ah!
Yeah,
he's offline.
He's not having a good year, actually. His pet capuchin monkey, which according to reports was seized as he arrived at the Franz Josef Strauss Airport in Munich after customs officials realized that he and his team did not have the proper documentation to bring the animal into a foreign country with them. According to Thomas Meister, the spokesman for the customs office, Justin Bieber brought his monkey to Germany, but he had no official paperwork with him. We were forced to confiscate the animal. From what Perez Hilton can gather, Justin brought the furry guy with him on his private plane, but now he's stuck in quarantine until the owner coughs up the fine money, and the costs incurred have to be from having to be detained.
Did he not have money with him to do this?
You can't just take the monkey through. He'll be able to pick him up on his way out.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on. What's going on with the monkey? Why do you have a monkey?
It could have been the outbreak monkey. I'm glad that Germany stopped that monkey. That monkey, I mean, that really is, I mean, it's the same kind of monkey as the outbreak monkey, right?
Yeah, what I'm saying.
From the movie Outbreak?
Yeah.
Is it the same kind of
monkey?
Yeah,
capuchin monkey. What I'm saying is.
The same monkey from Animal Practice gone too soon.
Yes, it was.
Aww. Betsy.
But my question is, why do people like Justin Bieber and Michael Jackson before him need a monkey? What's with all that? I know
Did
Michael
he have a monkey and a chimp. He That's had a different. It's dangerous.
It's a simian. Either way,
that rips your face off.
Well, yeah,
it might claw your eyes out or give you plague. Apparently,
but yeah. they'll do bad things to you. Oh. But what's going on with Bieber? I'm worried for Biebs. I'm starting to worry for him.
There's more than just the monkey.
there is.
I love this website called Go Fug Yourself, which is a website FUG. It's dedicated to poor choices in celebrity fashion. And every year around March Madness, they have Fug Madness, and they pit celebrities against each other and what they've worn for the whole year. I've been following this for a couple of weeks now, and Justin Bieber is going to take it all, I think, with his fashion choices. And it's like the kind of thing where I'll pull Ted in from the other room and be like, look at Justin Bieber's pants. The crotch is down by his calves. Why? Why is this happening? And Ted can't explain it to me.
I never know, oddly.
I mean, he could fit a monkey in the crotch of his pants.
Well, and who hasn't wanted to do that, really? I blame Hammer for the pants. I'm just going to throw it out there. Hammer, it's your fault.
I blame Ross from Friends with a Monkey.
It could be. Yeah. That could very well be the issue. But
the Hangover? I blame society giving a 16-year-old boy millions and millions and millions of dollars and nothing but yes, men, women, and small girls around
and monkeys.
Him.
Well, he has a no girl no longer around him. Selena Gomez told him to hit the curb. And I think that's probably what's pushed him off of this weird edge now.
Oh.
Somebody told him no, and he's like, I'm going to do whatever I want now, and you can't tell me no. So he's just going around doing stuff that he doesn't get told no for. So I think Selena Gomez has triggered this whole thing. And downward spiral for the Biebs.
Why do you have to bring your monkey with you to Germany, I wonder?
That was my first question. Oh. It's like, did you think the monkey was going to be... I mean, I go places, I leave the cats here.
Don't have a monkey.
Yeah, don't have a monkey.
Oh,
yeah.
I've kind of always wanted a monkey.
Well,
put it out there if Amazon has them.
Well, the stuffed ones, sure.
Rally monkeys for Ted.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh.
Rally monkey, yeah, baby.
Damn it.
Look at a little hat Ted's in the room right now.
You're giving me flashbacks to that. Horrible World Series.
2002, baby.
I remember it. I was in the city. It was a great night, and then I quietly went home. Well, celebrating. Because I didn't want
to get stabbed.
Hurt. Yeah.
To get stabbed. Yeah, Giants fans are getting a little rambunctious. There was a fight at AT&T Park at a preseason game.
What?
Yeah, some 19-year-old ended up getting arrested for punching an A's fan, which...
Why?
Who hasn't wanted to punch an A's fan from time to time? Fan.
Yeah, well, there's wanting to, and then there's actually doing it, is what I'm saying.
That's my new sound.
So
need to make a sound drop of all that.
Do you have a baseball team?
Oh no.
Well, okay. Your parents vicariously make you a Giants fan, right?
Yeah, that's true. I come from a Giants and 49ers family, so I always want them to win so that my family will be happy.
Aww. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Good kid.
You're a Dodgers fan, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
And Angels. I mean, I have allegiance to all things SoCal. Although I was slightly more of a California Angels fan than a Anaheim Angels fan or a Los Angeles Angels at Anaheim fan, which I just reject.
The thing is, all of the marketing is just Angels. There's no Los Angeles in the marketing.
I don't
at
like
all.
It when the score is LAA, when they do the score boxes, it's LAD versus LAA or some bullshit.
You know what I don't like? I don't like ESPN, and this I'm going to go off on a jag here for a moment on ESPN.
Go it.
By the
it,
way,
go it.
Here, dear ESPN, SFO is an airport, not a baseball team.
That's bad.
If you want to make it a three-letter thing because you have to for some of your stupid computer thing, which you're the only one who does, and you need to have SF and another one. How about SFG for San Francisco Giants? Not SFO. That's the effing airport, you douches.
That's very PDX of them. Apparently Portland goes by PDX like the whole city, but not SF. It doesn't do that. I saw somebody that once with LAX, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
LAD.
Yeah, LAD and LAA for Los Angeles Dodgers,
right,
Los Angeles Angels. Same thing for the Yankees and the Mets, but SFO is just like, what the is that for? Seriously.
If they change it to Harvey Milk, it'll be like SFOHM, and then it won't fit, so they'll have to find something better.
Yeah. So eat it, ESPN.
Love me.
Yeah, exactly. This week, things went bad for Breaking Bad star Bryan Cranston. Someone broke into his car and stole his script from Breaking Bad, which could lead to spoilers. Someone has been arrested for this, but they have not yet recovered the script. So we'll take a listen to the... to the 911 call here in a second, as soon as the internet allows me to play it for you. Here we go.
Bernalillo County Communications, this is Jacob. How may I help you?
I need to report a breaking and entering into my automobile.
Something? And where are you at, sir? What's the address?
Automobile?
I'm using all the fancy
the
words I can think of.
Sandia Crest, way up at the top of the hill.
Okay. Are you still there now, sir?
No, I've come back down.
This isn't a 911 call, then, you asswipe.
Good call, no.
No, I don't. I live in Albuquerque.
Okay. I can either have, if you want to pull over somewhere, I can have an officer meet you, or I can have an officer give you a call, whatever you prefer.
That'd be great. I'm on, it broke my my passenger window, and I'm on my way to Albuquerque Audi to turn it in. Can someone meet me there?
You know what, sir? They usually won't go out of district, especially for something like that. Let me have an officer give you a call, and that might be the best thing to do. And he can still make a report for you that way. Can I get your name, please, sir?
It's Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, Cranston, C-R-A-N-S-T-O-N.
And can I get your phone number, please, sir?
So the 911 operator, not impressed by Brian Cranston.
I don't think I'd... Well, I don't know.
I don't know if I would assume it would be like the Brian Cranston, but he'd also get in trouble if he did that on
the
call.
Yeah,
but
he
what
would.
This is the city of Albuquerque?
Yes.
What kind of goddamn resources do they have that this guy wasn't saying, you know what, sir, I'm just going to have to get off the line with you. I'm going to provide you with this number. I'm going to transfer you immediately to non-emergency answer.
Yeah.
Because you're not, this is not a crime in progress. That's the first question they ask you, at least in most jurisdictions in California, is this a crime in progress? No? Please hold.
Yeah.
I'm going to transfer you. He's not in danger. There's nothing the cops can do right now. That they even go and meet him is ridiculous.
Meet me at the Audi dealer.
Can you meet me at the Audi dealer? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I'm headed to the Audi dealer. Can somebody meet me there?
Once they're offering to have somebody come and meet him, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, not apparently.
I guess we should all live in Albuquerque where the cops have that much like time and resources to be doing shit like that.
Yeah. Did I tell the story about the person outside of the apartment like a couple weeks ago? I think I might have. And I called the non-emergency number in Sacramento. Oh, yeah. And they're like, yeah, we don't have anybody to send out right now. If you're calling the non-emergency number, here's the message. No one's coming. They might come when they get around to it.
Well,
but
it's not an emergency. That's why you call the non-emergency number.
Exactly.
So it's good. They don't have to come.
It wasn't my emergency.
You should still call and report crimes because it helps for statistical reasons and to increase patrols in your neighborhood. You should always call, but you should not expect, especially if the crime has... like over.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I love how Sac PD has you can report crimes online. You can just sort of fill out a form and that they'll never do anything
There's
about.
There's an app for that.
Yeah.
No, they will do stuff. They do use that to
I haven't
determine.
Gotten my bicycle seat back.
You're not probably going to do that.
I know.
They're on the case. Happen. I'm sure there's...
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure they're rousting hobos looking
I
for
I don't
it.
Think they promised to be on the case for something like that. I think the reason they... what they use that data for is to change their patrol patterns.
Yeah.
That's how they know where to send people.
Patrol. Biatches. So, Breaking Bad. So the script is still out there, and there has been someone arrested, but he did not have the script with him. So there's still a chance that there will be spoilers for Breaking Bad's final season. So
probably threw it out because who cares?
Oh, no. I understand the motivation because I've been watching this show on Netflix.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the first four seasons are on there, and then it's just silence while the rest of the world is like, you know, catching up, and I really want to know what happens. So I understand. I would not have broken Bryan Cranston's window, but I understand.
Well, my guess is he wasn't necessarily breaking it to steal the script. He might have just been breaking it to steal stuff.
Yeah, I think he probably was like paper.
Yeah,
throw it out.
He was breaking it for bad. Speaking of things that are bad, John Hamm, I guess bad. We discussed his penis last week.
Oh, right.
It's made headlines, and now it's gotten him the offer of free underwear for life. Both Fruit of the Loom and Jockey have reportedly reached out to the actor, offering him and his member free underwear for life. The offer started pouring in once news broke that Mad Men producers asked Hamm to stop going commando on set. A rep for Jockey told TMZ, Jockey would like to offer our support for John Hamm in the form of a lifetime supply of Jockey underwear. Fruit of the Loom proposed to Hamm, we want people to be themselves, and if going commando makes you happy, we say go for it. But in case you change your mind, we've got you covered.
Covered. They're hilarious.
They got you covered. John Hamm. John
More
Hamm
like sausage, am I
penis.
Right? John Sausage? All right,
John. Hold on. I just found another. This happens every now and then on the internet. I found something else that's interesting. This is from the LAist website. Joe Jonas sex tape shows drug-fueled BDSM sexcapades, which I'm like, what?
Oh, which no. might be sexy with John Hamm, but not with the
Joe Jonas.
Brother.
According to BuzzFeed, at the beginning of the video, Joe and Blanda are sitting on the bed together. They're both drinking and smoking pot. That doesn't sound pure at all. And Blanda explains to Joe what she is going to do to him in detail. They proceed to engage in multiple sex acts using a variety of sex toys, including, get ready for the list, a large dildo, a gag ball, a slapper paddle. Joe participates willingly, but seems less sure of how to use the sex toys as well as how they will be used on him. He does not enjoy being paddled. Well, who can blame him? At one point, he's had enough and cries, ow, don't do that anymore. Bland his...
First rule of Jonas Brother Fight Club is when someone says, ow, you stop.
At one point, Blanda is more dominant one in the video. At one point, she inserts the dildo inside of herself and orders Joe to lick my juice off of it, and he complies. Well, that was good of him. If that's what's going
was
on.
Is it
so,
bacon flavor?
I don't know. Mm. It could be.
I'll have to watch the video and find out.
So the footage has not yet hit the internet, but it should soon. Jonas, through rep, denies the tape even exists, though. His rep told TMZ, there's no truth or validity to the story. It's completely false. But hey, it's fun to hear about Joe Jonas saying, ow, stop it.
So wait, did they... Like, are there press copies? Like, how it hasn't come out on the internet yet, but they've...
in advance. Yeah. His sex tape drops next Tuesday.
Right.
Well, I mean, the internet is full of rumors and pornography and sports scores. So, I mean, eventually the rumor will go around. Ted can speak more to, like, message boards and how those things sort of filter through than...
I surely could.
But
I don't know.
But he won't.
I'm not going to.
So wait, are the Jonas Brothers, are they a thing anymore? Like, do they have a career, or is this like kind of a desperate plea for the spotlight?
You know, I think they made so much money that they don't care anymore. There's a reality show like Married to Jonas or something. It was on E! For a minute. It's like one season, the one that married one of the Jonas Brothers.
Is this the one that was dating Taylor Swift, or is that another
one?
No,
I don't know.
Oh, it's baffling.
It's too much. I can't keep up with the Jonases. I can keep up with the Kardashians, but not the Jonases.
Well, clearly there's no room in your head after the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm. And it's filled with important stuff.
So many K's.
It's true. It makes everything simpler because you go, what is her name again? It starts with a K. Okay. Australia, and by the way, I've made no secret of my wanting to be loved by Australia, but this pissed me off. There's a store there. It's charging customers $5 just to look. That's right. It's called showrooming. It's a serious problem for retailers who pay their staff to staff their stores with salespeople who can answer customers' questions. When the customers only stop in to check out prices and then opt to shop online for better deals, it hurts the store's bottom line. Now, one retailer is taking an unusual step to combat the practice. It's charging $5 per person for simply browsing in its aisles. These specialty grocery market called Celiac Supplies garnered both support and outrage after a Reddit user reported on the approach. The store will be charging people $5 fee per person for just looking. According to a sign posted at the suburban Brisbane store, about 60 people a week would stop in to pepper the owner with questions and then buy the same products online or at a bigger supermarket chain. That's according to them.
That's weird. So Celiac, I mean, it sounds like it's a gluten-free specialty shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so where do they come like, tell me about this rice flour. Tell me about this rice flour. Thanks, I'm going to Whole Foods.
Yeah. I'm going over here. But
people just do their research online for these things. Why do you have to bother people at a store?
Yeah, don't even bother them at all. Go through Amazon. Through NateDarlingShow.com.
No, wait, don't listen to. Oh, wait, I don't know. I'm so conflicted. Shop local and on Amazon for Nate Darling.
Yeah.
So.
If you're local, put your stuff on Amazon. Get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, come on. Put some sushi online.
I'd like some sushi shipped. And I want the free shipping, so it's going to be 7 to 10 business days. I'll wait. Nice. Yeah, I found it as a guy who's been into stores before, sort of dragged along. It's like, okay, so if it's a couple and the guy's just there, like having to be there, is it then $10 for the two of them to go in? It's just
you
a weird thing.
This model does work though, is wine tasting.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Because then you're not. Although I get really mad. Like I like going to Sonoma more than I like going to Napa because Napa charges too much everywhere, and I've been to an increasing number of places that. It used to be like this store does where they apply, you know, it's $5 for wine tasting, but if you buy wine, then we'll take $5. And I think right. that's totally legit. So
totes.
That's fine. But I don't like the places that are like, it's $15 just to taste.
Yeah.
That's it. That's if I'm going to do that, I'm going to go to a restaurant and have like a couple glasses and sit down. I'm not going to stand at a bar and spit in a bucket.
Yeah. So that's their point. It's a $5 fee per person, but they will, if you buy something, they'll knock it off. So, I don't know. I mean, I get what they're trying to do and I understand, but at the same time, it's like the whole point of having a store is to be open to serve the public and to create goodwill. And if you start being combative about stuff, then you're not going to get people to come in as much because they're going to be like, I don't want to come in if you're going to charge me just for coming in. Maybe I do want to just comparison. I don't know what I want. Maybe I'm just checking out your store because maybe I want to start shopping here. But if you're going to give me that attitude, then I'm not coming back.
This store seems like such a niche market. It's just weird that this would be the store. Like lower down in this article, it talks about how Best Buy is finally done. You know, they do more price matching there so that you don't go home and buy it somewhere else. And that makes more sense because I totally like that. I see. I'll go to a store and play with the tech stuff, and then
well, you know what Target has done. If you've ever tried to use your cell phone in a Target, it doesn't work.
Really?
Yeah, your cell phone. If you start looking at your cell phone in a Target, and they encourage you to use the Target free Wi-Fi while you're in there, what do you think that is?
They can track
what you're going to and what you're searching, right. and go through that. So that's kind of how Target has sort of covertly done something very similar. They're not charging you, but you can't like scan something on your cell phone and go check it out. So like if you get one of the barcode scanner programs or apps and you scan something and go, oh, okay, it's this DVD player, go and you compare it and it's like, oh, well, they want 150 for it, but I can get it on I can get it at Best Buy for 139, I can get it on Amazon for 112, and then you leave. I mean, they then know all of that stuff.
What?
Know that for me already because I have a red card.
Yeah. Well,
I think it keeps the prices competitive, but I do feel sorry for the mom and pop stores that do have to put up with this, but that, I don't know.
It's yeah, I mean, it is
free market economy.
Yeah, it is difficult.
And totally free.
I understand, no. But at the same time, it's one of those weird conundrums. Like, how much free advice do you give to people to try and get them to come back in? It's obviously become a problem for them, but, you know, the bottom line is, if I'm like green grocer guy, I'm probably not answering a bunch of questions for somebody who doesn't even have a shopping basket in their hand, let alone a cart if they're pushing it around my grocery store.
I mean, look, like, there's just like Whole Foods, like they're expensive, but people shop there a lot. So I'm wondering maybe the store is just not doing something right if they're losing so many customers.
Yeah, well, I mean,
service, quality, and speed are the three key. I don't know.
Sometimes it's selection too, because you know, smaller stores don't carry as wide a selection, or they don't have as much
celiac
stock.
Celiac supplies, team. Celiac supplies.
That's a weird name
it's
for
just
a gourmet store.
800 kinds of rice flour. And what else is gluten free? I don't know. Gluten free beer.
Oh, there's gluten free matzo. In case anyone,
there is gluten free beer. There's also, I believe it's Widmer Brothers has created this new thing. They have a patented process where they brew beer traditionally and then extract the gluten. I don't know how. It's magic, but. Yeah, I mean, unless you've got celiac disease, just have a beer. It'll be fine. Just don't go nuts with it. So yeah, it's just kind of a weird thing that I was like, oh, okay, well, whatever. That seems interesting, but I'm not paying you $5 to look in your store. That's just not going to happen.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or Tool.
Whoa. All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Albuquerque. Christiana, let's start out with you.
Albuquerque... Bryan Cranston's a tool. I guess Albuquerque is cool.
Okay, Becca?
Cool. I love the Southwest.
Ted?
I've never been, but it seems cool to me.
I drove through there once. It sucked. Tool.
It's a great... That's a... No, false. It's a good city.
False.
They have like, paintings, like desert painting, uh-huh. National Park or something. That's badass.
And they're the home for the show about meth, so what does that tell you?
For the what?
It's an excellent show.
I didn't say it wasn't. I love Breaking Bad. Jeez, settle down.
Good meth is hard to find.
I like it so much, I know what happened in the last show. I'm up
don't
to date.
Don't tell me.
No.
I'm not going to...
Extortion.
Mostly because I don't remember exactly where stuff happened. It's been a long show. Up next, free underpants. Ted, cooler tool, free underpants.
Yeah, that's cool. Why not? I beats paying for it. Unless it's really gross and used in tidy whities, then never mind. They can't give him tidy whities.
Well, they could. Like, well, like Bryan Cranston wore in the first season of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but Mr. Ham, just, I don't think I'd be comfortable.
Mr. Ham, why are you wearing tidy whities?
Anyway.
I've mixed my metaphors and my actors.
Anyway.
Christiana.
Literally, Tool.
Ah.
Nice. Becca?
I'm going to say cool, but I kind of wish, you know, when I was in college, I had a job at the public library, and there were a lot of flasher kind of people that would show up there, and I'm just wishing that civilians could get that free underwear.
Oh, yeah.
Thing,
yeah.
You know?
I think the 5-centimeter dude should get it, not Ham. He doesn't need it.
So Ham doesn't need it.
Yeah, Ham can buy his own underwear. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Tool because it's just a, it's just, as much as I love marketing wherever you can, I think it's a cheap ploy to try and sell your jockey and your Fruit of the Loom when everybody knows that Hanes boxer briefs are the best, duh. And finally, in cooler Tool, charging $5 for just looking. Becca.
Oh, Tool.
Ted.
Tool.
Christiana.
Tool.
Yeah, that's a, we're going to reach quorum on that one. That's a Tool move. Be nice. Let people into your store. Show them around. They'll come back. They'll think of you as family. And then they'll take advantage of you in ways you never imagined.
Oh, no.
Because that's what family does. I don't know. In some families, I don't know.
No. I don't know what that
that's
was.
We go. That's cooler Tool for this week.
Yay.
Yay. Or for this show. Oh. Not this week. I keep forgetting we do two shows a week now. I know. I'm here doing them, and yet I still forget because...
It
you know,
is for the week because it's our...
It's the last one for the week.
Right. I would clarify that.
Now, I mentioned I keep up with the Kardashians, so this headline grabbed my attention. Ford ad features Kardashian sisters bound and gagged in Paris Hilton's trunk.
Oh, it's...
I don't know what's going on here. It's a drawing. It's not really happening. But this is from India, of all places. The Kardashian sisters are seen bound and gagged in the back of a Ford Figo with Paris Hilton in the driver's seat and illustrations produced by an Indian ad agency. While the image of the three Kardashian sisters bound and gagged in the trunk of the vehicle may well make your Monday, or whatever day, an illustrated fantasy has been deemed offensive to many. What? The image exists and was created as a potential print advertisement for Ford.
It's a spec ad, right?
Yeah, for Ford
just
India.
It was made to get those guys' attention.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, Chloe, Kim, and Courtney, of course, are victims of a kidnapping orchestrated by a winking Paris Hilton. Sisters are bound at the ankles and wrists, gagged and shoved in the trunk of an Indian-made Ford Figo, accompanied by the slogan, "Leave your worries behind with the Figo's extra-large boot." The image and slogan seem too appropriate given the size of Kim's extra large booty. I did not write that. That's from the article. Sorry. It's one of three things that they did on spec. They had that one. They had former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has women tied up in the back seat of a Ford Figo in illustrations mocking his Bunga Bunga scandal. Which seems a little bit more... way worse than Paris Hilton kidnapping the Kardashians. And then finally, this one kind of amused me because I don't like Michael Schumacher. Race car driver Michael Schumacher with his rivals tied up in the back seat, bound and gagged. They are big into bondage, this agency.
I like how they don't even... I don't know if it's just because it's an American article, but that doesn't even work. Just like his rival. There are other drivers. We don't fucking know who these people are because it's America.
Yeah. We don't know. It's Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, and Fernando Alonso for anybody who follows Formula One. So, yeah. Mm. Ford ads that are spec Ford ads. Interesting. That'll never fly here. I don't know.
Well, I know that... I think Jezebel ran a piece on this before, and I hadn't seen the Shumi one yet, but their angle on it was that it was, you know, violence against women because you're leaving your troubles behind. They're going to take these women, and like it's violence against women. They're going to murder them, whatever. Oh,
but it's a woman.
But the tone changed. But I think the one that they used as an example was the Berlusconi one where you got like the bad woman.
Right.
Power dynamic is different than girl on girl or dude on dude.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know.
So the message here is it's okay to do away with somebody if they're the same gender.
Yay.
I think it's kind of impressive. I mean, score one for whoever came up with these ads because the whole world is talking about them and they didn't even make them. You know, it's like a storyboard and they got so much press. So.
Yeah, it's an Indian ad agency that's going to get a lot of calls.
It makes you want to buy a Ford. Wait, no, it doesn't.
An Indian made Ford? Is that what you want?
With an extra large boot.
I would like a Ford made in India, please.
Oh.
Could you make it there? I would like that very much.
I want the Kardashians in the trunk, please.
In
the boot.
Could you put some Kardashians in the boot? Terrible. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been to India. I can't comment.
Becca has.
I know. We had her on the show right after the trip to India, actually, to talk about that.
They put a lot of people in their boots in India.
Long time ago.
No, most of the Indians I knew rode motorcycles. No boot.
Oh, okay.
No boot.
Something.
Nothing a boot. You guys watch the show Pawn Stars at all?
Nope.
Just me?
Just
my parents.
Oh, wait,
I think I saw
it once accidentally at a hotel.
It's on the History Channel. Well, Chun Li is...
from Street Fighter?
No. He's okay. That's his nickname, Chun-Li. Though, and it might actually be from that, but because he's a big video gamer.
Oh.
He got his girlfriend a new pair of boobies to show her that he cares.
Aw.
Yeah. Because love doesn't cost a thing, but fake boobs can cost upward of $5,000, and that's the price to pay if you're Chun Li from Pawn Stars and you want to sleep with someone who looks like his girlfriend, Tanya. That's on top of paying for dinner for her and 11 of her girlfriends.
I don't get this. I don't get the tone of this article.
Well, the tone of the article is Chun Li is a horrible-looking troll, and how would he get women?
Money,
if he didn't
the same
do that.
Way lots of other ugly troll dudes do.
Mm. Sources close to Chum tell TMZ that the perky new breasts were a birthday gift for his girlfriend Tanya, but that wasn't all he got her. We're told that Chumley also rented out a penthouse suite for him and his lady at the D Casino Hotel, paid for several lavish dinners at the hotel's steakhouse, including one attended by her 11 girlfriends, and even arranged fancy limo rides through Vegas for her and her family. So there you go. That's what happens when the Pawn Stars celebrate a birthday.
That sounds nice. I know. I don't care.
Honey, I'm getting you boobs.
It just, besides the boob job, like, the whole article is dripping with, like, and I can't really figure out why.
And like, rich guy spent a lot of money on his hot girlfriend for her birthday. Like, that seems okay.
She's not, I mean, she's pretty, but it's not like...
It's not like she's way out
of
his
league.
Neither one
of, like, he's not really a hideous beast, and she's not, I can't even come up with somebody who's like, but I mean, they just, so what?
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, I mean, it was just very interesting.
Don't you have a button for that?
Like, so what button?
So what, or like a that's awesome? Or
meh.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
That one?
That's what you're looking for? Okay.
Oh, wow.
Because I have that one, and I've got this one.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it's like
crap.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if your girlfriend wants fake boobs, then that's a good birthday gift. But,
sure.
But you can't bring it up.
Hopefully, like, she didn't wake up and find them in her
surprise.
I feel like he should take a little, we should send him the link to, remember the voice of Charlie Brown?
Yes.
That guy. Aww. And he bought his girlfriend boobs and then they broke up and he like wanted his money back and mm-hmm. It was bitter and terrible. So be forewarned, if you buy someone fake boobs and they walk away, they're taking the boobs with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna happen. They're taking them with them. You're not getting them back. It's just a bad scene. And I don't know. Would it ever be, I mean, is it ever okay to say, hey, honey, I've got an idea for your birthday. How about some fake boobs?
I don't think so.
Ooh, you have to tread really carefully. Like, if she's the kind of girl who seems positive about that sort of thing or has maybe mentioned that she'd be into it, then that would be okay. But if she's never said that she was uncomfortable with her body.
Here's something that's gross. One time,
just that.
There was a family we knew lived in my hometown, and they had issues. But the dad of the family was a boar, like a terrible boorish brute of a. Ugh. And so he, like some event where my parents hadn't seen him in a long time, called his oldest daughter over, and to my dad was like, "Look, check it out. I got her those for her birthday."
Ah!
Like, yeah, it was just, my dad's like, I don't know where to start or stop or this is everything about
Look.
This statement is wrong. Like, yeah. Who gets their kids and then shows them off?
There's like a lecherous ghost that manifested just from that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, didn't Joe Simpson talk about his daughter that way, Jessica Simpson? Like, look at the boobs on her, something of that nature.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Just, and look what a good parent he is. I mean, come on. Frosted tips and all. By the way, I think if you're a dad, I think it's time to retire the frosted tips. But you could, I'm just saying.
Or if you're not, is that look really working anymore?
I don't think so, but all I'm saying is once your kid reaches like 10, it's time to be a dad, like a traditional dad, and do away with the frosted tips and all that jazz, especially if you got daughters. I mean, you can be the weird dad if you've got sons, because they can just sort of go, "Ah, it's my dad, he's just a weirdo." but I don't think it works the other way. if it's like a daughter, I think it's a different standard of you know how you should behave. Just I know that's horribly sexist to say, but
it is. It's part of the reason why like there's bad gender equalities because we don't.
Oh, because
enforce shit on dudes too.
Because you should behave in front of. I don't know. Yeah. There's a difference. I'm just saying there's a difference. That's all. That's fine. We can agree to disagree. Mm. You know what that means? That means neither one of us is coming around. Speaking of not coming around, Georgia GOP Chairwoman Sue Everhart warned that straight people might enter into fraudulent gay marriages to obtain benefits.
Wait, what?
Wait, did you miss that one?
I did, but this doesn't make sense when I hear it again.
Okay.
No, I get it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. She said, "You may be as straight as an arrow, and you may have a friend that's as straight as an arrow. Say you had a great job with the government where you had this wonderful health plan. I mean, what would prohibit you from saying that you're gay? And y'all get married and still live as separate, but you get all the benefits. I just see so much abuse in this. It's unreal. I believe a husband and a wife should be a man and a woman. The benefits should be for a man and a woman. There's no way that this is about equality. To me, it's all about a free ride."
You are a stupid, stupid lady.
And you could never exploit straight marriage that way.
No one ever. Only if you're an immigrant.
It is theoretically possible that such a scenario could happen, but there isn't any evidence that it actually is in any of the states that have gay marriage. Now, though fictional, the premise of an Adam Sandler movie, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Oh, wow.
Does address the problem. It really, if that's your frame of reference, is an Adam Sandler movie.
I saw it on TBS.
I've seen it.
I saw a documentary on TV.
I've done seen it. Everhart does note the possibility of marriage fraud among opposite sex couples, though others have warned against marriage fraud committed in order to get immigration benefits. In reality, the number of proven cases of such fraud is extremely small. She also said that she could not understand how two gay people could ever have sex. If it was natural, they would have the equipment to have a sexual relationship.
Wow.
I just am trying to imagine, like, delivering a public being a politician, delivering this public speech, and then just all of your subconscious feelings about gays just start to unravel out of your mouth in this, like, nonsensical.
She is the chair of the Georgia Republican Party. She's not some punk city council person who doesn't know anything or is like Podunk County. She's not like the Hazard County commissioner who's coming out with all this shit. That's a Dukes of Hazard reference for y'all. It's like, and first of all, somebody get her the internet and she can see how gay people have sex. It's all over there.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. Yeah. I can send her some links.
So yeah, I don't know if you should blame Georgia so much as I don't know who to blame.
I didn't blame Georgia. I just said, Georgia.
Yeah.
I just felt kind of bad. You know, I don't think the designing women would agree with that at all. I mean, the sugar bakers would find that very distasteful.
I agree.
God.
That's right. I just in one story, I had both a designing women and a Dukes of Hazzard reference. God damn, I have a television.
1986 is alive and well.
My TV background is varied and diverse. So. Yeah, take that.
What would Matlock say?
Take that, people. Oh, what would Matlock say? I don't know what he'd say. but he'd say it while this was playing in the background. He'd say it with a slow southern drawl. Now, I don't know what you're thinking about that, but I don't think gay people are doing anything to defraud people. And they seem to have sex pretty regular. Just like other people. But a lot more focused around the butt.
Maybe.
I'm just a southern lawyer. I don't really know. That's what Matlock might say about that.
Nice. No, I know. Thank
so,
you.
Yeah, you were wondering. So,
is that literally the Matlock theme song?
That is the Matlock theme song.
Wow. I can't believe you had that ready to go.
It's part of my whole lawyer collection for Christiana, you know, because I have this for Ted.
Okay, the first rule of Jewish Fight Club is if somebody says ow, you stop.
And for me.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
And for Christiana.
If there's one thing America needs, it's more lawyers.
So I need to get something for you as well. I just haven't gotten around to it.
I want to be the Justin Timberlake, headed on down to Veganville.
Yeah, bring it on down to Veganville.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. A meatless place.
All right.
I love that.
Well, let's head on down to Florida Corner.
Ooh, hold on.
That's right.
I like that we get to listen to Credence every time this segment comes up.
We'll start with Florida Man this time. Lawmen say a man wanted to show off to his ex-wife by spraying his current girlfriend with a water hose, then throwing her to the ground several times. On March 9th, the man, his girlfriend, and ex-wife were at a residence sitting around a bonfire in the backyard, because who doesn't do that? The victim told the police that the man began to spray her with a water hose in an attempt to show off for his ex-wife. They struggled over the hose, and the woman was thrown to the ground. She went back in the house, but the man followed and resumed throwing her around. When the man's ex-wife tried to intervene, he pushed her too, because that's what he does. The woman fled to a family member's house across the street, because you should live across the street from your family, I guess. The man followed, of course. While they were in the garage, the two fell into a washing machine and dryer before family members separating them.
I'm thinking literally into it, but that's probably not what happened.
Meanwhile, the woman's son had called 911.
Meanwhile.
When the officers arrived, the man refused to come out of the garage and had to be taken out. He refused to make a statement except to say he didn't hit anyone, and he wouldn't let his photo be taken. I'm sure they got past that later. He was charged with domestic violence and will report to a judge. He actually has, because that was March 26th. So that's Florida Man from Florida Corner. Now for Florida Woman. An East Naples woman is behind bars after police say she stole fake fingernails and feminine hygiene products from a drugstore, then passed out in her vehicle under the influence of drugs.
That's horrible.
I know. That's why you're laughing.
Yeah,
just after midnight, Naples police received a call about an intoxicated woman sitting in a sport utility vehicle in a drugstore parking lot. Officers said the vehicle smelled lightly of alcohol. When they approached the driver, Aviva Thea Louise Boucher, 32, told them she had been drinking the morning before. Huh? And all the way through, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Officers spoke to an employee who told them that Boucher earlier told him that she wasn't drunk, just on a lot of drugs. Then when he asked if he could help her, according to an arrest report, the employee said that he saw her put a box of fake nails and a package of Vagisil wipes inside her purse, then pay for a couple of other items without paying for those inside of her bag. Because sometimes you just need Vagisil and you can't afford it. During an inventory of the vehicle, police found a blue suitcase containing a scale, two saws, two razor blades, small bags that tested positive for cocaine residue, and a bag of marijuana. She's facing DUI, petty theft, cocaine possession, marijuana possession, and possession of drug paraphernalia. She was released later that day after posting bonds totaling $12,000. Nothing on the shoplifting, but DUI for being passed out in a car in a parking lot.
I love that it's like, she told the police she wasn't drinking. She was just on a lot of drugs. It's like, good cover, good cover.
No, that was what she told the employee inside
the
store.
Okay.
I'm not drunk. I'm just on a lot of drugs. Now give me my Vagisil wipes. Just give them to me. sorry. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing to say.
Which part?
The whole thing.
Okay. The whole thing. Show. So no
yeah.
Kidding.
Thanks, Florida Woman, for helping me with that. I don't know. I don't have any penis music, per se. I could probably find some.
Detachable penis.
Ooh, that's a good one. Actually, I think I do have that one. Hold on. I can look for that. One second, please.
We'll entertain.
Please entertain the rest of.
I'm trying to think of any other penis songs.
Oh, I'm sure there are some.
Lots of them. Most rap songs. Lots of hip hop.
Oh, that's true.
But
like
the
Snoop Doggy Dogg.
But in the title,
Sex Jam.
That one with that guy who's doing that dance in the black background, looking down on his penis for presumably something's happened to it. Who is that guy?
There's a Macklemore song called the Penis Song. Apparently,
that guy has a song for everything.
Yeah,
I know.
Oh, here's
amazing.
All right, here's a band called Your Favorite Martian. This song is called Bitch Got a Penis.
Bitch got a penis. Bitch got a penis.
I think that's unfair.
Bitch got a penis. Bitch got a penis.
Okay.
Kind of samey.
Why do you have the Macklemore penis?
It is. I mean, you get that. Then there's a. This is probably my favorite penis song. This is Rodney Carrington's Letter to My Penis.
Here's a little letter I sing to my friend. Lately, it seems like our friendship might end.
Oh.
So before we get into a fight, I thought that I'd better write. Hey, penis, I don't think I like you anymore.
He went with a big band big band sound on that one. There is
a he's compensating.
Wait, why doesn't he like his penis anymore? This seems serious.
Penis, I don't like you anymore. Hey, it used to be you and me, that paper towel and a dirty magazine. That's all we needed to get by. Now it seems things have changed. I think you're the one to blame. Venus, I don't like you anymore. Take it away, my little friend.
Penis in a solo?
Penis solo?
Hey, Rodney. I don't think I like you anymore. When we get to drinking, you put me places I've never been before. Rodney, I don't like you anymore.
My penis made me do it.
Why can't we just get a grip on a man-to-hand relationship? Come to terms with truly how we feel.
You know, the first time I heard this song, it was a country mix, and it had a much different feel about it.
We just stay home forever. Penis, I think I like you after all.
Oh, they come back together. Oh, yeah.
Rodney, why you shave and shave my balls? Why you shave and won't you please shave my balls?
Somewhere Frank Sinatra's rolling over in his grave.
No, he's kind of a dick. Where I liked it.
He was. So
there it is.
It's detachable penis.
When I was in junior high, that song was so funny.
Me too.
It still is.
So it's took my penis down, found it for sale on a blanket.
It is a great video. I love the video.
I never saw the video.
Oh, you gotta look at the video on YouTube. It's King Missile, by the way. Detachable penis. They also have a song called Jesus Was Way Cool, which is a lot of fun too. So time for penis news. The cops say a man assaulted roommate who drew penis on his face after he passed out. That's right, it's time to meet James Watson. He's a 31-year-old Virginia man. He fell asleep on his couch on a Saturday after an evening of heavy drinking. And while Watson was incapacitated, one of his roommates retrieved a permanent marker and drew a penis on his face. When Watson awoke and discovered male genitalia on his face, he attacked his roommate, leaving the victim with extensive injuries to his face.
Had that guy, like, never heard of that practice of drawing a penis on your buddy's face when they pass out? I feel like that's, like, so common. It's, like, cliche.
Let me tell you something. If anybody draws a penis on my face, I'm probably going to do things to their face they won't like to. Just saying. I'm on his side.
Well, although that's like toothpaste on someone's hand, or you put their hand in hot water, and it's like a... It's like a sleepover thing.
Yeah.
Why are boys so weird and stupid about that shit?
Like,
calm
does it mean
down,
you're gay
dude.
If somebody draws a penis on your face? It doesn't. And even if it does, is that reason to fight?
Should they write, like, hashtag no homo on top of the penis?
I think that would help. I'm just saying.
I don't get it. I mean, I don't get it.
Maybe he had to
obviously,
go to work.
These guys are not paragons of anything, but I don't get it.
Yeah. Well,
why do you get so mad?
You know, when the adrenaline kicks in and you feel like you've been wronged as a guy, it's just one of those things where you're just like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Can't believe you did that. I'm going to punch you in the face.
Did you punch someone in the face, Nate?
It's happened before.
Oh. All of your co-hosts scoot back just a little bit.
Well, not to anybody who didn't deserve it.
Oh,
I mean,
everyone
it's just a warning. There are things that if you do, you're probably going to get punched in the face.
Yikes.
That I mean, I can see somebody stuck their actual penis on your face.
Oh,
right.
Because
right.
that's uncomfortable, but...
Uncomfortable and unnerving.
I mean, Sharpie penis. That's
I mean,
it's hardly
a
good deal.
I'm a hard time understanding why I had to punch him in the face.
Either way.
Like, we're waking up to go to an important meeting. But even
yeah.
Then,
I have a meeting in the morning. I'm going to drink until I pass out. Nobody draw a penis on my face.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Also, can all of us get a written list of the things that will trigger a punch in the face? I feel like that's something we should know.
I always issue a warning.
Okay.
It's sort of like a warning shot.
Like, I'm going to punch you in the face in 2 seconds.
It's usually, if you do that again, I'm going to do something you won't like.
It's a good way to get punched in the face,
I wouldn't expect
bitches.
A punch in the face.
Yeah, it's a good way to get punched in the face. Let me go get my rings, is the warning.
Oh, shit.
And more penis art news, it's time to meet Scott Massey, He's a 25-year-old Tennessee man. He's facing aggravated assault charges after he allegedly pulled a knife on three men he suspected of drawing a penis on his face after he passed out at a party. So the punching seems like a pretty reasoned response now, doesn't it?
I see what you mean.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty reasoned response to something to go ahead and punch somebody, but just a little bit different than if you're pulling a knife on them. According to the Murfreesboro Police Department report, when he awoke around 1 a.m., he'd nodded off on the couch. The men were all laughing at him. That's a good way to make men angry, point and laugh. It was then that he determined that someone had drawn a picture of a male genitalia on his face with a black marker while he was asleep. Yeah, that's according to the report. In a bid to ascertain who put the penis on his face, he allegedly pulled out a pocket knife and warned that he would start cutting people unless the artist stepped forward. Well, that's not going to get him to step forward.
That'll make him laugh even more.
I'm going to start cutting people until I find out who did this, and then I'm going to start doing some damage. In a Smoking Gun interview, he denied pulling a knife but confirmed that the penis had been drawn on his face and that it, quote, took some scrubbing to remove the image, which apparently was applied with a Sharpie-like marker. Yeah. You know, if somebody... Here's my thing. If somebody draws a penis on my face, I am suing Sharpie. I'm going after where the money is. Because anybody who draws a penis on your face, except for, I guess, Jimmy Kimmel, they don't have any money to be had. But Sharpie, I'm putting them out of business. That's what I'm saying. Unless, and this is a great idea for Whiteout. Or
Sharpies
liquid,
for life.
Liquid paper, which nobody uses anymore. They need to create a bunch of flesh-colored liquid paper so that you can cover over any penises that were drawn on you in Sharpie.
Ooh, or else there's used makeup.
Business
seems like, or you could just get makeup. Over it.
I mean, it says here that he was able to remove the drawing before the police even arrived. So I guess, yeah, get over it.
Just well, he didn't punch anybody. He just wanted to know
he
who did it.
He drew a knife on them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's like, I want to know who done this before I'm going to start cutting on people.
But the fact that there's two stories in one week about this shows that it's very prevalent. If you pass out, you're going to get a penis drawn on your face, and it's okay. It happens to a lot of people. We can start support groups. It's fine, men.
I think the real lesson here is don't drink until you pass out.
Right.
that's the real lesson to be taken from this, because you just open yourself up for terrible things. Like someone, here's some of the things I've heard of people doing to people who pass out. There is the hand in the warm water, which allegedly causes you to pee yourself. There is having all of your friends pee on you.
Ew, really?
Yeah,
that's terrible.
There's of course
that I'd punch somebody over.
Oh,
yeah, that's way worse than a Sharpie penis.
Oh, well, get over it. Get in the shower and get over it. It washes off. I don't know what you're talking about.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing.
Pee's on the other foot now.
We're not backing down from this one. No.
Oh, well, it's not a matter of punching people in the face. It's a matter of what will drive you to it. It's really what we've been uncovered here. So, yeah. So,
sounds
yeah.
Like a good game. Is it worth a punch in the face?
Oh, that is a great game.
Yay.
We have to figure out a way to do that. Is it worth a punch in the face? Everybody come up with a scenario next week and we'll determine, is it worth a punch in the face? You know, oh, we need interns, because then we could actually get somebody to get punched in the face.
Oh, like we have, yeah.
We need a little. We need like a Weeble or something to punch in. Like an air. Like an Bobo, air.
Oh,
like
one of those inflatable clowns.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a good punch in the face. I still would rather have an intern that we could punch
or
in
no
the face.
We could alternate that with Cooler Tool. Punch or no punch.
So if you're listening out there and you're looking for an unpaid internship in which there's a high likelihood of getting punched in the face,
please write to
Nate Darling Show.
Yeah, hit us up on the Facebook. We'll bring you in. It'll be fine. You'll get to see how a radio show is done in a living room. Not everybody can do this, you know.
Must there, love cats.
There's plenty
and listen, punches.
There's plenty of terrible radio shows done in very professional studios, and we're a very good show done in a living room. So there you go.
Yeah.
It's about the talent around you, not the location. There we go. I want to remind everybody, if you're going to be shopping on Amazon anyway, please click through NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it only takes a moment, and it would make us all very happy inside and outside, as we'd be able to upgrade the sound of everybody. I love that. We'll be able to get microphones that will really hear Ted yawn like that. Not just a little hint of it.
Did you guys hear that?
I did.
I'm sorry.
I did. It didn't see, but on your microphone, it sounded very soft. If I did it... and
whoa.
I'd like
that
to be
that was somehow very like relaxing.
I know that was
take
like
a nap.
a radio yawn.
Yeah,
that was really good. Wow.
It also sounded kind of like a lion.
Yeah, and I'd like to...
Simba.
I would like to be able...
the only nap greater than...
I can yawn louder next time.
I would like to be able to bring this level of intimacy to everybody's voice so that you could...
Sexy radio.
So that you could get right in tight and make a point like this. Or you could get back off the mic and sort of talk like this and create a little bit of a different thing based on where you are. And we really can't do that.
Hello.
Yeah, I can do... I can do that because I have this microphone, and I would love to get microphones like that for everybody, but I can't.
Becca's mic. Can you hear me?
Wow.
So yeah, shop Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com and get better microphones for the rest of the room.
That's right. We need them.
Yeah.
Apparently. I didn't realize I was missing out.
And then we need voice lessons to learn how to use them properly.
We'll do that on the show. We'll do like drills. It'll be awesome. We'll pull back the curtain and do drills on how to do proximity readings and sort of look like that. I mean, if you've watched me, you'll see I sort of move around and get right on the microphone and sort of talk in different ways. There's a reason for everything I do here. It's not just that I'm nuts. So anyway, that's my little plug for Amazon. So please go ahead and do that. We would appreciate it greatly, and it would make for a more better show for you, and that's what we're here for.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. Small town news again from the hamlet of Plattsburgh, New York. But as it was on Wednesday. This one's from former host Mel's least favorite columnist, Susan Tobias. Mm. Technology allows for a virtual baby shower. You mentioned that you bought like stuff for a baby gift on Amazon.
I did do that.
Well, when miles separate, family and special events occur, it's difficult to celebrate and involve everybody in the festivities. This is particularly true when a new baby is expected in the family and the baby shower is in the works. Nowadays, if you enter technology into the equation, it offers a great option. My granddaughter Emily and her husband Jared moved to Indiana following their 2010 wedding. Last fall, Emily found out she was expecting their first child, a little girl who will be named Britton Adelaide. So how do you put on a baby shower for Emily? Well, her sister Hannah, who never ceases to amaze me with her new ideas to old problems, theorized that if we can all Skype each other just to visit, then we should be able to Skype the baby shower. Great idea, but I wasn't sold on the theory.
Because it seemed like just a big gift grab.
Now, for our readers who are searching their heads at this point, let me explain. In order to Skype, both people need a laptop or desktop computer with a camera attached. After downloading the program to your computer, you can call someone and their computer is on. They'll answer, just like a phone, but the big difference is you can see each other. Now, I remember the days when I used to think, heaven forbid phones ever have a way to show my picture in curlers or without makeup. Guess I wasn't a visionary. Well, Hannah and Emily's mom, my daughter Tracy, was thrilled with the idea. They made invitations with a sonogram picture of Britton. Don't tell them I said this, but in their enthusiasm, they forgot to print the date on the invitation. Hannah was busy with her job, and Tracy was in Indiana visiting Emily and Jared, and the oops happened. Well, not to worry, though. That other technology-enabled social network called Facebook was a quick way to notify the 30 or so invitees of the date. I helped decorate the fellowship hall at the First Christian Church in Brushton with a pink everything. And when the guests came, it was gift bags, wrapping paper, and girly dresses in pink, lavender, yellow, and every other color except blue. That sonogram reader better be right, or else there's going to be a newborn baby in Indiana without a shred of blue to wear.
Oh, no.
That's right. You'll have to wear dresses. Emily was broadcast on the widescreen television, and when each guest arrived, they said hello to her. That was nice of them. Tracy wanted to include Emily in the games as much as possible, so she gave her the answers to the ones we played. Emily got to announce the winners, and from the laughs and frivolity, everyone had a great time. Oh, there were a few glitches, as with any wireless technology sending signals hundreds of miles into the space, only to bounce back to Earth at a specific spot. We had to make a few adjustments. Emily sounded like she had hiccups a couple of times, but it was only temporary.
No.
If she moved too fast or her kitty, Miss Maisie Meow Meow, got in the way of the camera, we only saw a blur.
Awesome.
Those minor glitches did not take away from the amazing time we had. So now it's up to Emily to deliver that sweet little girl so she can play dress up in all those cute pink outfits. Tracy and her husband Randy are packing the van with all the gifts. At the first sign of a contraction, they'll head southwest and hopefully arrive in Indiana in time for Britton's first cry. By the time the shower was over and we were cleaning up, I was more than convinced that Skype showers may become a common event. there just weren't any stork bingo cards, Egbert cocktail napkins, or safety pins for cloth diapers like years ago, which I brought but found out aren't the same now. But for the love of friends and family, for Emily, Jared, and baby Britton wasn't lost in the Skype transmission. And one last thought, as always, please be kind to each other. The world needs more kindness.
Oh, now I can't mock her.
She ends every column like that.
That's cold.
It's nothing to, I love it. That she and Gordy Little are like great columnists for this paper. And by great, I mean awesome for this show, because that's not something you find like in Real News. That's something you only find.
No, see, I call shenanigans on that. Ooh. I think that's exactly the kind of shit you see on like the third hour of the Today Show.
That is small town news. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that Facebook is a technology-enabled network.
Yeah, it is.
If it weren't for technology.
Weren't for technology, I don't know how we'd do it. It'd be crazy. Yeah. It'd be like Little House on the Prairie. It's like Little House on the Prairie rolled into the 21st century is kind of what happened there.
Amazing.
Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Hello, Hef, and your tail. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll have more stories for you next week for two new shows. My plans for heading to Southern California and other things like that.
Ooh.
Anybody else? Anything fun? Anything fun? Anything?
I will be on my way. I will be camping in Corcoran this weekend.
Nice.
I think we're going to check out the Milky Way Improv Festival.
Nice.
I don't know our parents. I don't know. That's an SNL hit that no one understood.
There you go. Hey, everybody. We're going to leave you with this.
Maybe.
Yeah, this is the Hyannis sound with a couple of songs mashed together. So enjoy and have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Call me maybe before you came into my life. I missed you so bad. I missed you so bad. I missed you so, so bad. Before you came into my life. I missed you so bad. You should know that. I missed you so, so bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't.
Hey, Kevin.
You're insecure, don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are is enough. Everyone else in the room can see it. Everyone else but you. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me all.
Met. I think you are so beautiful. This might strike you as a little crazy.
You don't know how beautiful you really are.
Take my number.
Because you light up my world.
Call me.
Maybe.
Maybe.